Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. You can do better than that. Good morning. So good to see you this morning. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. We've got a big event tomorrow night. Can you just give me one big Goat Tigers? One, two, three. Yeah, that's tomorrow night. Joe Burrow. Come on, Joe. Joe Legend, Joey Heisman. And so we're excited about that tomorrow night. And so great to see you. I'm more excited today to preach to you today than tomorrow night's game. That's pretty excited, isn't it? And so we're doing a new series called Soundtracks, and I want you to say this with me. New rhythm, new life. Yeah, you've heard soundtracks to movies, and you know, it makes it all better. Soundtrack, you got a soundtrack, you guys do. If you're married here today, you know you got your song. Y'all know your song. You usually turn it up a little bit when it's on. How many of y'all got a song? Couples, let me see your hand. Yeah, you got a song, that's our song. Y'all want to know mine and Hottie's song? Actually, we have a couple. I was thinking about this. We got a couple songs. She doesn't have a song. It's Boot Scootin' Boogie. But other than that, she doesn't sing to me, but every once in a while I'll sing to her. So I've got a couple. I do a little, I'm a child of the 80s, so you know, I'll do a little 80s rock, a little Foreigner. How many of y'all with me? You're old. Every once in a while, I'll look at them and go, I would climb any mountain, sail across a raging sea. She goes, stop it. And then if that doesn't work, sometimes I'll go over to Motown, I'll switch the channel a little bit, and I'll go, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. I read your letters. You know, she's going, don't even think about it. So we want to just give you a new rhythm. And if you want God to do something new, how many of you would like to see something new in 2020? Just something new. In order for God to do something new, you're going to have to do something new. Pastor Jacob really inspired all of our lead pastors, brought us all in the room and said, I feel this year, 2020, I want it to be called the year of health. I want our pastors to be healthy. He's looking after Heidi and I. I want y'all to be healthy. And he said, and I want you to make sure your teams are healthy, your staff's healthy, your lead teams, your dream teamers, make sure they're healthy. And then I tell your dream teamers, I want to make sure the congregation's healthy. He said, I don't even care about the numbers. And he said, I just want to make sure everything that's healthy grows. And so I want to just talk to you about health. And last week, I actually gave you a little bit of the precursor to these series called Soundtracks, A New Rhythm, New Life. And I actually brought up the Ten Commandments, and we put those on the board. I'm going to put them again up there. And I just want to remind you, most of you know the Ten Commandments. You may not be able to put them in order, but if I ask you, you probably say, remember God first, and you go, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't murder. But there's one up there that we don't quite take as seriously as the others. There's one up there that we kind of say, well, it's just a big suggestion. And God just kind of put it up there. And how many of you know what number it is? It's number four. It's one that we kind of pass over. We just go, yeah, you know, everybody knows you shouldn't lie. God should be first. Yeah, don't create an idol. Don't use God's name in vain. Your mama told you that. Your grandma told you that. But there's one on there that we take it as a suggestion. And I want to zero in on that number four. Talking about health and getting healthy, and God's going to put an actual rhythm into Israel. He's going to say, hey, I want to give you a new rhythm, new life. He's going to start it. And here was his rhythm. 6 days, I want you to work. And on the seventh day, I want you to rest. So if you were just thinking of rhythm, one, two, three, four, five, six, rest. One, two, three, four, five, six, come on, you help me out, congregation. One, two, three, four, five, six, rest. You know, I want you to rest. In fact, I would just say to you, in fact, he was so serious about this that even not only did he tell Israel, I want you to work 6 days, rest on the seventh, that he actually even said, I even want the ground to rest. Remember, they were planting, they were crop growers, and he said, look, here's the deal. 6 days or 6 years, you can plant the fields, but on the seventh year, I want the fields to rest. And I shared this with you last week. But they didn't listen to him. They didn't think it was that serious. They just said, no. They went ahead and planted 7 days or 7 years and missed for 490 years. They missed 70 years of Sabbath for the land. And then God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in, conquer Judah, take all the best back to Babylon, which is modern day Iraq. And guess how many years they had to stay in exile, captivity? Guess how many? 70. And let me show you this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. So the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. Read this yellow with me. The land finally enjoyed a rest, lying desolate until the 70 years were fulfilled, just as the prophet had said. So here was the principle that God was trying to get into Israel's heart, and I hope to get into your heart. God, you'll do more by working 6 days and honoring God on the seventh with rest than you would accomplish in 7 days working. Now, let me say it again. You'll accomplish more in 6 days of work than you will working in seven. Now, see, you don't really believe it. I can give you a modern day example of someone who's honoring the principle of Sabbath, and boy, you're going to go, well, you're right, Pastor. You ready? Chick-fil-A. Have you ever gone to Chick-fil-A? They got crowds all the time. They are making bank. Chick-fil-A is balling, people. They are balling. But how many of you ever got one of those? What's that French word for when you get a hankering for something? Envie? Okay, y'all quit correcting me. How many of y'all have ever got one for Chick-fil-A? And you go, oh, baby, let's go get some Chick-fil-A. And you go, and you're driving down, and about halfway down, you remember it's Sunday. How many of you go, I hate Chick-fil-A. Why are they closed on Sunday? Because they're honoring the Sabbath. And God's blessing that business because they're simply honoring that very day. Can I tell you my favorite Chick-fil-A deal? One day we were fasting. Thank God prayer and fasting is over. Fasting is over. We still have prayer, but fasting is over. Thank you, Jesus. I love to eat. And one day we were during a week of prayer and fasting, and we pull up there and we go, we're in fasting. And so our rule is if you can get it through a straw, you can drink it during fasting. So we go, let's get a milkshake or something. I mean, you're just dying, right? And so we go to Chick-fil-A and we get up there and I go, babe, what do you want? She goes, I want a vanilla shake and tell them to put the chocolate syrup in it. So I said, so you want a chocolate shake? And she goes, no, I want a vanilla shake with chocolate syrup in it. I said, so you want a chocolate shake? And she goes, they don't have chocolate shakes. They ain't vanilla with the So I wasn't going to argue with her. So I pull up there and I go, yeah, I'd like a vanilla shake, and could you add chocolate syrup in it? And the lady goes, sir, would you just like a chocolate shake? Listen to me. We're in a crisis. I want you to listen to this quote by Stephen Covey. People expect us to be busy, overworked. In fact, it's become a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, then we're important. And if we're not busy, we're almost embarrassed to admit it. When was the last time you had somebody go, man, will y'all come over? And you go, well, we just been busy. Where y'all been? Oh, busy, 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 busy. Y'all come see. We'd love to get over there, but we just been so busy. When was the last time you heard somebody go, sure, I'll come over. I ain't got nothing going on. Busy, we're busy. In fact, Listen, Americans are actually facing an epidemic. For many, it's actually, listen to me, it's an addiction. We're addicted. It is as powerful as alcohol or drugs. Our culture frowns upon chemicals, but we reward busy. Most drug addicts are in denial, but most workaholics own it proudly. In a 2019 survey, 48% of Americans consider themselves workaholics. The average American works, pay attention right here, the average American works 50 hours a week. Now that doesn't sound that out of line, 50. But we spend 77 hours per week in front of a screen. That's either our computers, our laptops, our phones, or our televisions. What does that mean? Well, if you add the 50 hours of work and 77 hours of screens, then you're talking about 4 hours of sleep per night. We have an epidemic. When God created a rhythm that he wants you to walk through, and it's called rest. It's called a Sabbath. And I want to help you today just to kind of lay that out in a practical way and just really talk about the purpose of Sabbath. And here's the purpose of it. It's found in Exodus chapter 31, verse 17 out of the NIV. And this is God speaking. He said, "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day," read it with me, "he rested and was." And that's where you find the very purpose of a Sabbath. It's to refresh you. It's for you to rest and to be refreshed. And I'm going to walk through you today to give you a real practical version of what that possibly could look like in your life, because I believe we ought to obey the number 4 commandment that God asked us to obey. I said, I believe we ought to obey it. And let's go. And so how many of you have seen these fuel truckers, those big fuel tank? You know what I'm talking about? These big cylinders that drive down. And you know what their job is, right? Their job is to go to the pipeline station or the main station to fill up with fuel so they can take it to a gas station so it can go into the ground. So when you pull into the gas station, you will have fuel for your car. This is why it's important. Every single one of you are tankers here in this room. There are other people who are depending upon you to fuel them, to bring them. If you're a mama, say amen. Your children are depending on you. Your husband's depending on you. If you're a husband, your family's depending on you. If you're a leader at the church, this church is depending upon you. There are people that are depending upon you, and if you don't get refueled, then you're not going to have anything to give to anybody else. Are y'all hearing me? So I want you to pick this up, and I want you to put this into your life. By the way, we give you opportunities. That's why I don't want you to miss spiritual renewal beginning Tuesday night. It ought to be called spiritual refuel. Yeah. It's an opportunity for, I know it's today for many of you. You come in today. Today's a day where we kind of hook you up to the tank and kind of refuel you a little bit. Can I get a good amen? And so I want to just help you today. In fact, I love what David wrote in Psalms 23. We know that chapter, right? The Lord is my, I shall not. But I want to take you down to verse number 5, where he says, "Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil and my cup." I want you to see how you got to get your cup not just half full. You got to get it where it's overflowing. If it's not overflowing, then you don't have anything else to give to the people you love. And I want to help you and give you a practical way of Sabbath. And we'll help you the next couple weeks as well. In fact, Heidi will be speaking next week. She really has a word from the Lord. So I'm going to have her come. Best preacher in the house. All right. So, in fact, let me give you this quote. It says, "You are a spirit. You are. You have a soul, and you live in a body." You want to say that with me? You are a spirit. You got a soul, and you live in a body. So I want to give you what I'm going to call the 4 tanks. Now listen, all of these are important. Don't put one more important than the other. Because there's really four tanks that need to be filled in order for you, really for a Sabbath. And I want to help you with that. Number one, I'm going to give you, and you already know what this one is. Number one, it's your spiritual tank. It needs to be filled. And you already know what I'm going to say, don't you?
I know, Panther, you're going to tell me how to pray.
That's right, I am. I'm going to quote the prophet of the Lord. You have to pray just to make it today. I made that up. Don't touch this. Anyway, yeah, you got to pray. That's where you talk to God. He talks to you. You got to set aside time. Today, you know what else I'm going to say, don't you? You're going to tell me I should read my Bible. That's right, you should read your Bible. In fact, you could walk out here going, I don't know where to read. And you could walk out here. We've got stuff at the Welcome Center, plans, how to read through the New Testament in a year, how to read through the entire Bible in a year. You can Google it. There's all kinds of plans and how to read Old Testament, New Testament. Some people just say, I read Proverbs and Psalms. And there's all kinds of plans. And how many of you have ever read the Bible and you go, I didn't get nothing out of it today? How many of you have ever done that? I've done it. Or you go, I don't even know what that's. You get to that section, it goes begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, and you go, I don't even know how to pronounce these names. And you go, I didn't get that. How many of you know it's like sitting down for a meal? You don't remember every meal you've ever eaten, but you obviously did some good because I'm looking around the room. No, it's part of just taking and just filling it up. It's just pulling into the gas station, baby, just filling it up a little bit every day. In fact, the scripture calls it about itself. Give us this day just give me my daily bread. I know I just got to eat a little bit today. It's not, you got to read 12 chapters. I think this past year we went to the New Testament. We just did one chapter a day, just a chapter a day. Somebody pulled me aside and goes, thank you. I've always read the Bible through in a year, but I had to read so much of it, I didn't really study it. And God really spoke to me. I mean, I could chew on it, meditate. God really used it. Get in the book. By the way, getting in the book doesn't make God happier with you. Reading the Bible was not for God. It's not like eating your vegetables. It's not like cleaning your room. It doesn't give you brownie points with God or put a gold sticker. He did it. He did it for you. He did it so he could feed you. It wasn't so you could bless him. He did it so he could bless you. Are y'all tracking with me? So you got to fill the spiritual tank. Don't miss spiritual renewal. It's an opportunity. You knew I was going to preach that already. So let me go ahead and move to number two. There's a second tank. I'm going to call it the physical tank. Got real quiet up in here real quick. And you go, I know you. Remember, you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a, the scripture says, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we ought to take care of it. And listen, there is an unhealthy infatuation in culture with how your body looks. Can I get an amen? You know, those girls and guys they put up on the screen all the time as the models, you know, there's a thing, there's called editing. They don't really look that good, I promise you. Listen, I'm not talking about a size. I'm not talking about getting down to not to be a slave to the scale. What I am saying is you ought to take care of your body, not so you look better, you ought to take care of your body so you'll feel better. Are y'all with me? So I gotta work this. And you go, I know what you're gonna say, Pastor Yu. I need to eat right? Yes. And I need to exercise? Yes. But there's also a third strand to that. It's not just one and two. You gotta eat right. You gotta exercise. If you'll eat right, exercise. And then the third is to rest. It's to rest. In fact, Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, she described what she called the physical rest deficit in Americans. Listen to this. And she goes, here's how you'll know. If you lack the physical energy to complete your daily to-do list, if you feel tired but still have difficulty falling asleep, if you have a weak immune system, that frequent illnesses, if you experience frequent muscle pain and soreness, if you depend on substance to give you energy. I know. We get free coffee out here in the morning. It's gone. No, I'm teasing. I'm not talking about having a cup of coffee, but if you're dependent on it to get you going and to keep you going, watch this. So we depend on substances to give us energy to get us going, and then you depend upon substances to give you more rest. So at the beginning of the day, we got to get going, and at the end of the day, we got to take something else to make us go to sleep, and in between, we're taking anxiety medicine to keep us coping. That's a problem. Look at me, that's a problem. It's a warning sign to go, wait a minute, I'm not eating, check your diet. Am I eating right? We went through this fast. Heidi got this, she brought this new thing called a juicer. How many of y'all have a juicer? She went to the store, bought every vegetable in known to man. If you went to Super One and there were no more vegetables yet left, it was because Heidi was there. She got them all. She put them in the kitchen. She started just, and she's like a mad scientist up in there. Just celery, carrots, lemons, blueberries. And she goes, drink this. And I held my nose. I just went. I said, you're trying to kill me, aren't you? I believe she's slowly, systematically poisoning me little by little by little until I die. I'm convinced. Let me tell you something. I was burping celery for 3 days. Listen, I don't want you to miss what I'm saying. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you what you should do. I'm just telling you should be doing something. You should be moving. You got to keep moving. Someone said, I think it was Coach McCartney, the national championship football coach, he said, having dinner one night with him. He said, there's two things you got to take care of. Take care of your legs, take care of your heart. You got to keep them moving. You got to keep them moving. 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. Just keep them moving, keep them moving. You got to eat right there, and you got to sleep. And how many of you know they all go together? They all work together. It's just called rest. It's just called filling up the physical tank. Heidi, I learned this, and boy, I'm on it. I learned, and I see Teddy's back there, a professional golfer, and I learned that you can ride a golf cart and go play golf, 18 holes, and burn 1,000 calories playing golf. And then I looked up, I Googled it up, and said, how long do I have to jog to burn 1,000 calories? And it said 10 miles. So I just said, which should I do? And the Lord spoke to me. You know what he said? He said, tee it high and let it fly. So I'm coughing. How many of you know? What's my point? Find something that you enjoy that gets you moving, because you're not looking for a size or a weight. You're just looking for health. And you fill the physical tank. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a Sabbath. You mean I can do that on my Sabbath? Of course you can. He said the Sabbath was for rest and refreshing. And if it rests or refreshes you, that is a Sabbath. Okay, let me get to number three real quick. Vic, come help me out, because I gotta hurry. Number three, how about this? You also have a third tank. It's called your emotional tank. Have you ever said something like this? I am emotionally exhausted. How many wives have ever said that? You know what that really means? Shut up. It's where you feel numb emotionally. You don't have emotions anymore. It's the tank is empty. You feel indifferent. You don't really care. I don't care what those kids do. You ever heard that? I don't care what those kids, why did we have kids? You avoid decisions, your loss of focus. You find it difficult now even to have enthusiasm for things that you once loved. You're emotionally empty. Your tank is empty. Signs that you're just running on E. And you go, well, Pastor, how do you fill up your emotional tank? You ready? I love what Billy Sunday said. He said, the primary fuel for your emotional tank is what the Bible calls joy. joy. It's what brings you joy. It's doing something that brings you joy. In fact, I love, I got a phone call this week. You know, I got a, Pastor Jacob called me and goes, Eugene. Okay, he never calls me Eugene. Unless it's very, very important. It's serious. I know if he says Eugene, it's serious. If it's just normal stuff, it's Pastor you. Eugene. I'm not talking to you, Siri. Has that ever happened to y'all? You just talking and Siri goes, what? And so he calls me, he goes, I go, Pastor, he goes, Eugene. I go, what's wrong? What's wrong? I need you. I go, what do you need? I just need your help. I said, I'm in. What you need? The answer's yes. He goes, okay. He goes, my family and I, my children, my wife, Michelle, and the kids, he said, we're going to the national championship game. I said, good for y'all. That's awesome. Praise God. And he goes, I got Pastor Keith's coming in, which is Pastor Jacob's spiritual father, who led him to the Lord when he was a kid, a teenager. And he said, of course, Dr. Darius is flying in as well because he's coming in for spiritual renewal. I think we didn't tell you, but he'll be here the first night, but you didn't hear that from us. Take that out of the tape, Josh, just subtract that from the podcast. I don't want anybody knowing that Dr. Darius is coming on the first night. So he goes, Dr. Darius is coming. He said, man, would you do me a favor? Could you just tend to them like I would? I go, sure, what do you need? Just take them dinner, whatever, pick them up. Dr. Darius is flying in. He goes, well, Dr. D doesn't fly in until Monday, tomorrow. And he's flying into New Orleans. So if you'll go, just pick them up. Then go get Dr. Darius. And then if you'll take them to the national championship football game, I got 3 extra tickets. I want Brother Keith, Dr. Darius, and you. And I just take them to the game and tend to them. I guess. I got to bear my cross. You know, the Lord said we'd have to make sacrifices. So I guess I'll do it. Take them to Ruth's Chris to eat and then to the deal. You know what I really did, right? I said, what? I'm your man. Yes. Woo! I'm taking a Sabbath day tomorrow. Don't call me. I ain't answering. I'm on Sabbath tomorrow. What am I going to do at the Sabbath? What you going to do? I'm going to the national championship game. I'm going to paint. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Then I go, well, I wonder what kind of tickets we got. I mean, you can't get it. These tickets are expensive. They're crazy. And they sent me over my tickets. I'm on the 40-yard line, 29 rows up, LSU side, and my tank is full. What's my point? Find something you enjoy because the Sabbath was to refresh you. It fills up that tank. Heidi don't care about going to that national championship game. She wants to go shopping. So next time, girls, I'll give you a piece of advice. Next time, just look over at your husband and say, give me your credit card. He said, why? Because I'm going on a Sabbath. Get your bags and bring them on home. You're going on Sabbath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3. Let me give you the last one real quick. Is your mental take. It's just your mental. I just got too much on my mind. You become chronically forgetful, distracted, unfocused, procrastinate, accident prone, mistake prone. All are signs that you're running on empty. And God's given you this massive computer between your ears. It's pretty phenomenal. The amount of energy or information this thing can process. It's like a computer. It literally is a computer. It's a marvel of how he created it. But how many of you know if you got a computer, every once in a while you gotta update it. You just gotta update it for it to function right. And you gotta update yourself mentally. And you go, what do you enjoy? So for some of you, that's going to a movie. You mean on Sabbath I could go to a movie? Yep. Go to a movie. It's reading a book. I asked Heidi, I said, baby, what do you do? What is it you do mentally that really fills up your tank? She goes, I like sitting on the back porch. So there are times, we live in a pretty small house. I mean, it's smallest. I mean, it's like, I'm at the back door, right? I mean, you walk in, it's not that far. So it's hard to lose her, is my point. And so Heidi, you just go, Heidi, baby, where you at? Heidi. And I'll look out the back window and there she is, just sitting on the porch. Back porch, just looking out. I'm like, what are you doing? Just looking. I know, baby, we've lived here 2 years. I mean, it's the same. I know. I just like looking. What is she doing? She's just downloading, just updating, running out of gas, running, just refueling that tank. That's what a Sabbath is. It's to set aside some time, a day, to refuel whichever one of those is running on empty. You know, today it's a lot harder to run out of gas, isn't it? You kids that don't understand this, you young folk, if you're probably under 30, you don't understand this. Now cars, you can be driving down the road. You're driving down the road. You don't have to ever look at the gas gauge, ever. Because it'll just go bing, 50 miles till empty. And how do you go, baby, you need to get some gas. And I said, I know, but it's, you know, you can punch down. How many of you do this? How many miles to empty? I got 50 miles. Roll the dice, baby. Let's roll. Because it's like a snooze button. How many know it's going to do it again? Ding. I told you, you need to get gas. I know, baby, but it says 20 miles. We can get there and almost back. And then there's that third ding, right? That third one, ding, and then you go down, and it just says, you got to get gas. It's hard to run out of gas today. But how many of you remember back in the old days? They didn't have no the fancy buttons or signs or anything like that. There wasn't but an E and an F and a line in between. And then I remember I had an old 63 pickup truck. And that thing would just move like this. And then once you got down to E, it started doing this. How many of y'all remember that? E, you're just like, yeah. You just do that. And then you knew you weren't really in trouble. You didn't know how much further you got because all of a sudden it just went. When it did that, you was in trouble. Trouble. Look at me. I wish we just had an idiot light that came on like we do now. You're just going to hit it. That's why God said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. Because he knew if not, you'd keep going until it just crashes. So he built this rhythm for you to follow. He was as serious at it as do not murder. Remember the Sabbath. I want you to set it apart. By the way, being holy, I'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Being holy just says protect it. Guard it. Watch over it. Don't let the emails come through. Don't check them. Unplug. Plug into me. Do something you love. Replenish yourself. Refuel yourself because I'm going to need you those other 6 days to be overflowing. So when you walk into church and you got people who have needs, you can meet the needs. It ain't selfish, baby. It's the most unselfish thing you can possibly do. Your children need you. When you're spent with them, it's probably because you haven't been Sabbathing along the way to refuel you. Are y'all receiving this word today? Are you receiving it? Look at me. Some of you, this is my fear. You're going to walk right out of here and not change your rhythm. And there's only one reason why you would do that. Or there's actually two. One is you don't believe me. Well, let me rephrase it. You don't believe God. Or number two would be worse, I think. You just rather disobey him. to go. You're already thinking, what can I do? You need to go ahead and set a date, baby. Friday's going to be our Sabbath. Oh, does that ever get interrupted? Of course. And Jesus would even say, hey, if the ox is stuck in the mud, leave Sabbath. Go get the ox out the mud. You got to do what you got to do. But he said, protect it and set it there. So when the rhythm comes, you know, hey, baby, Friday, we Sabbathing. I would climb any mountain. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Are y'all with me? I want to pray for you right now. Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Father, we hear you. You're speaking to us. You're speaking to us. And we receive your word. I pray over our congregation that they would this word, this seed, would go deep in the heart of every individual here. And that you are serious with this. You made it for us. It's not even for you. You did it for us. That we receive your word today. And Lord, that seed would begin to produce fruit. We're going to water it. We're going to protect it. We're going to tend to it. We're going to guard it. So that it would begin to produce fruit in our life. Because our children need us. Our church family needs us. This city needs us overflowing so that we could have compassion, long-suffering, and patience, and love. So, Father, we hear your word today, and we receive it in Jesus' name. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, Christians, would you just pray for your aisle, your row right now? Just go, God, touch every heart here. Maybe you're here today and you've never entered into this rest. I can tell you the most unrestful time of my life was when I was far from God. Everything, my mind was all mixed up. My heart was all mixed up. Things and thoughts that I had, just crazy. My life was out of control. I'd had no peace until one day I was in a church sitting like this and I heard this very simple message that we had all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us were sinners. At the foot of the cross is level ground. We're all the same, standing on the same ground. And that God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for your sins and for mine. Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom. You can't see this rest or enter into this rest unless you've been born again. I was born July 30th, 1965. I was born again the summer of 83 when I gave my life to Jesus. I was born again. And today, I want to give you an opportunity to be born again. It's as easy as A, B, C. Admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Christ came to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame, and he died on a cross to pay for it. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. Today, you can do just that. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, you, that's me, I'm going to pray for you right now. All I'm asking you to do, no one's looking. Would you just hold your hand up high and say, Pastor, you, I want to be born again. Would you pray for me right now? Just hold it up high, all over the building. Thank you. I see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Hold up high. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22. Thank you. 23 and 24. 24 hands today. Congregation, let's add our voice to theirs. Let's pray this prayer. Mean it by faith. Would you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Let's declare it. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.